Yeah, Kyler, I was curious when the news had broken about the discontinuing of the men's volleyball program. It was an abrupt announcement for you, your teammates, and the coaching staff. How has your team and coaching staff responded?
Well, initially we were pretty blindsided by this. I mean, we were as players, we were only given 15 minutes more notice than the entire world. We were told at 9:45, and the press release went live at 10. So at first it was shock, it was dismay, betrayal mostly. It felt like we had been, betrayed by our own university, and that was tough. That was really tough for us because, Stanford promotes values like togetherness and family and overcoming adversity, and that's just felt, well, completely contrary to those values. So at first it was, as the situation unfolded, it was pretty chaotic and pretty disorganized, and guys were going through emotions. And I know myself, I recognized that really I was going through the stages of grief, and it felt like I, someone had died, or something, obviously, something here has died, but it felt like I lost someone really close to me. And what's cool to me is the way that our team has responded. I mean, whether or not Stanford teaches those values, they have been instilled within our team, which is overcoming adversity. And it was amazing to me to see how quickly the switch flipped from, oh my God, this is terrible. How could this happen to us? To what are we going to do to fix it? How are we going to come together and overcome this new adversity, this greatest adversity? And since then, I mean, we haven't looked back. We put together an amazing, organization of alumni, donors, just people who want to support us, and obviously players themselves, players and coaches themselves. And I think it's the strength of our community that has really given me hope that we have a chance to be reinstated as a Stanford program. And on the other side of that same coin, I think it's the strength of our community that will bring us back and to our reinstatement as a Stanford program.
Hey, good day, everyone. I'm Rob Aspero for College Volleyball Weekly. And on this special podcast, vodcast, I've got junior middle blocker Kyler Presho of Stanford University. And wanted to talk a little about Kyler's background and to talk about some important and devastating news that was received this week. But I wanted to at least give our listeners and viewers a sense of where Kyler has come from in the game, how he has developed and grown in it, and the values he's had in playing such a great sport at such a high level. So, Kyler, thanks for coming on today on College Volleyball Weekly.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Easy to have this conversation with you just because I feel like I have a personal connection with you from your dad. And I've known you since, gosh, I think you were born taller than me. So, seeing you grow from that little boy who was always cheerful and having fun at the UC Irvine matches,
yeah,
putting on that Cardinal in Northern California. And we'll definitely talk more about that. I definitely want to try and mention some cool little anecdotes here in our conversation, but I wanted to address the most important thing, and that's the discontinuing of the Stanford men's volleyball program. But before we go there, I wanted to talk about your background, about where and when did you find your love for volleyball, and how did it take root?
Oh man, it was the first practice. I didn't start volleyball until I was about 14, so it was pretty late, compared to a lot of other players at this level. But I mean, that first practice that my mom actually forced me to go to, she physically dragged me to the car and drove me to the facility. And by that point, it was too late. I had to go play. That very first practice, when I realized that, I don't know, this sport just kind of makes sense to me. I'd been watching it all those years, and my body kind of picked up on the movements pretty quickly because I'd been watching for so long. And obviously, I've watched my dad coach all kinds of players for a long time, so I had, some knowledge already built in. And then I just found that my talent for volleyball was greater than that for any other sport that I tried, and I loved it. I loved succeeding, loved winning, so I just kept going.
Excellent. Hey, you actually mentioned your dad already, but your dad, easily one of the best human beings on the planet. And I know he takes a lot of heat because he's a target for a lot of humor, but I mean, it's all part of the personality that he has. But
yeah,
he's a high school standout at Edison High School, an All-American at Hawaii. What influence did he have in your pursuit of volleyball?
Well, he definitely introduced me to the game. I've been, you know, going to Irvine games and sitting in the front row of the stands, or sometimes if I got lucky on the end of the bench, since I was about 6 years old. So, you know, he really introduced me to the game and showed me, you know, the glamorous side, I guess you could call it, of college volleyball, and how, you know, those guys, those 12 guys out there on the court, those guys, all of them are the man. You know, those are all players who have worked and refined their craft, and they're, you know, they get to play one of the, in my opinion, one of the most exciting sports to watch in front of huge crowds all the time. So that was definitely part of his influence. And then, you know, it's interesting. I actually didn't start volleyball for a while because I wanted to be kind of separate or different from my dad. And it took me a while until
a teenager kind of rebelling. Never heard of that.
Yeah, right. It took me to that first practice when I realized, hey, I can still play this same sport and find a different path than him. So that's when I really kind of came at peace with that, and I was able to move forward with my volleyball career.
Now, you played club ball for Club Powerhouse 949 and for San Clemente High School, which, I mean, if people are familiar with Orange County volleyball, it's definitely a high school powerhouse. Can you briefly describe your experience during that time of your volleyball career?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was extremely lucky to be born in a place like San Clemente, or at least to grow up in a place like San Clemente, and to have access to, like you said, 949 and San Clemente High School. And just to, you know, that really solidified my volleyball dream, that say, especially at San Clemente High School, when you can look up on that wall in the gym and see all those names of the San Clemente Triton Boys Volleyball Hall of Fame. You know, you've got names up there like Gabe Gardner. You got names up there like Brian Thornton. I mean, just crazy, crazy talent that's come out of there. And so I wanted, you know, kind of contrary to the whole thing about my dad, I wanted to follow in those guys' footsteps. Right. And, you know, at 949, obviously the competition speaks for itself. I mean, they consistently field great teams, and it was a great opportunity for me to not only be coached by the best, but to play with the best. So I got extremely lucky.
Yeah, it's definitely a rich experience, especially growing up where you did, and knowing, seeing you guys at junior nationals, and also watching CIF Southern Section playoffs and South Coast League competition. So, you know, you guys never had a cakewalk. It was always a battle every night you guys were playing.
Yes, definitely. And that was great too. That helped me develop.
So moving a little bit further on in your career, were you involved with USA High Performance or had junior national team experience? And if so, can you share with our listeners and viewers what that was that you were doing with USA?
Yeah, so I've been involved with USA High Performance since the first year, I was able to go, but since the beginning of high school. I played for the Select A1 Red, whatever the term is now, the team at USA High Performance. And then I was lucky enough to, you know, get a spot on the youth national team. And from there, I've just done my best to stay in the gym every year. So youth national team, junior national team, Lugs roster, you know, this summer was hopefully, or we were going to be the collegiate national team and at least train. Unfortunately, that was canceled. So, you know, hopefully next summer that could be in the plans. But yeah, I'd say I've definitely been very involved in USA High Performance.
Well, it says a lot about your skill set and talents, because especially with the rich pool of talent that's happening, not only in what used to be only the hot spots in certain areas of the U.S., we're seeing so much talent across the USA, particularly in men's and boys, with the increase of participation that's been seen since, I believe it's 2016 in the game, like a 25% growth rate. So the fact that you're able to stay in those A1 teams speaks to your growth in the game from just taking the game up when you're 14 and you're what, like 21 now?
I'm 20. I'm going to be 21 in less than a month.
Ladies, there you go, 21. Now, with all the playing, training, and learning during your youth through high school years, what did it mean to you to be pursued by so many reputable D1 programs?
I mean, that was the dream. You know, I obviously, like I said, grew up watching all these awesome, you know, stud college volleyball players, and that's what I wanted to be. And so, you know, having the opportunity to do that at my choice of school was a dream come true. And truthfully, you know, when I started this all out, and I feel like a lot of people probably in my position feel the same way, that I had no idea, you know, I couldn't even imagine that would ever happen to me. And I felt so lucky and so grateful. But yeah, just having, you know, I obviously wasn't recruited by everyone. I don't think almost anyone is, but you know, obviously some people are, but just being able to have more of a choice over my college than, you know, I would have had without volleyball was huge for me. Mm-hmm.
Now, what was the process like for you to decide on which university to attend and then coming to sign your national letter of intent for Coach Costi at Stanford?
Well, the process was pretty simple for me. I wanted to find the best volleyball I could at the best academic school that I could. So I was looking at, you know, different programs where, frankly, volleyball is more the focus, and you know, I don't have anything bad to say about that, but it wasn't exactly what I was looking for. And then I looked at other programs where, you know, volleyball might have taken a back seat to academics, and I, you know, no disrespect to those guys either, but that wasn't my thing. So what I found at Stanford was this incredible marriage between athletics and academics, you know, that could really only be taken on by truly special people who are able to balance such a heavy schedule and who are able to time manage so well. And so I knew it would be a challenge for me because I'm going into college, especially, I was no good at time management, but Stanford just, you know, it just kind of naturally rose above everyone else because I was so ready for that challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, I was so ready to get as good of a degree as I could, and at the same time continue my volleyball, you know, dreams to their fullest extent.
Now, your family was so proud of you, and I remember when your dad was sharing your decision with all of us at the UC Irvine crew, and he had a smile from ear to ear. But he definitely got heckled by Stanford alumni who offered their old Stanford polo shirts for him to wear to matches now. So, I remember him just sharing that you had were going to be going to Stanford. What did it mean for you and your family to attend Stanford, being that it's the Ivy League of the West Coast, and you're playing in a top tier repeat national champion program, and a great crew like Costi and Shibuya, I should say their full names, John Costi and Ken Shibuya and the rest of the coaching staff.
It was a completely new experience. You know, it was I can't tell you how happy my mom was, because I don't even think she could tell you, you know, for the very second that she heard me, you know, tell John Costi on the phone that I was committing to his school, she literally could not contain herself, yelled and ran into my arms while I was still on the phone and jumped into my arms and hugged me. And so, I mean, for a member of our family to attend such a prestigious school in the first place was, you know, for someone in my immediate family, it was new and it was awesome and it was an honor. And just, you know, the effects that it's had on the rest of my family have been tremendous. They're all, you know, up until this point, they were all Stanford fans through and through, you know, forgetting their own alma maters and kind of, you know, just trying to completely, let me find the wording here, trying to acclimate themselves into the Stanford family in the same way that I did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just so you know, the first person to offer his golf shirt to your dad was the Stanford alum and former coach Don Shaw. It was the hilarious exchange on Facebook that they had between them.
Well, That's Don is the man, obviously. And like you said, you know, like you just touched on, we've got a great group of alumni, you know, even outside of a crisis. So I do not doubt that.
Right, right. Well, I think that's a good place to take a break here for College Volleyball Weekly. I'm Rob Aspero, and on screen with me is Kyler Presho, junior middle blocker from San Clemente, California. We'll be back in just a moment. Cool. So the next segment will be three questions just about this current season, and then we'll go into the stuff, the main stuff.
Let me readjust my lighting a little bit. It's getting darker in here.
I just thought that was your natural tan. I mean, that runs in your family.
I'm a little tan, but not quite.
And you've been playing on the beach all day.
Yeah, I have been on the beach. I wish I was a little darker than this, but, you know, you do what you
get. It's all right. I can use a filter if I need to. All right. Let me do a soft intro and we'll go into the next question. Okay.
Sure.
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, on screen with me on College Volleyball Weekly. We've got Stanford middle blocker Kyler Presho back for our next segment here of College Volleyball Weekly. And it's a special edition because we've had a lot of news break and we'll move into that after a few more of his career questions. What's have brought Kyler to where he's at today. But hey, Kyler, after 2 years of playing D1 volleyball, D1 and 2 to be precise, you've established yourself as one of the top middle hitters in the MPSF and the nation. Did you envision such success at this level?
That's a good question. I would say that I envisioned it in the way that, you know, I visualized myself having success at the college level because I use visualization as a tool. But, you know, to be truthfully and to really answer your question, no. I mean, I wanted that, and, you know, that was my dream and that was my burning desire when I got into college, but I didn't expect it in any way. And it's been, you know, really awesome to receive recognition for my efforts, obviously, but it's just been, it's been even cooler to finally get that chance to establish myself in the league after so many years of watching it. Mm-hmm. And that's the coolest part for me is like, I've almost placed myself as a character into those childhood memories, you know, where I get to be the guy making all the plays at the big arena. So
just for the record, cool. I feel like you decided to open up your can of, you know what, against UC Irvine, which I didn't appreciate, but because it's you, I'm good.
Well, now, you guys ended up beating us anyway, so that's all right.
So even in these first 2 years, Stanford has been affected by some injury, actually quite a bit. And you had the walking wounded around you, and this season wasn't much different. Yet, as a team, the Cardinal were still extremely competitive. And what was the team's sense for the 2020 season in advancing to postseason play?
Our sense was, I mean, at the time that everything was shut down, you know, and we all had to go home, our sense was we were starting to turn things around and guys were going to start coming back for us. And more importantly, guys were really going to have the time in the practice gym to find rhythm with our setters and to establish themselves, you know, with timing on blocks and to just become better familiarized with our system. So I know it's easy to say because we never got the chance to play it out, but I really do think that we were going to turn a corner and we were going to, you know, prove some people wrong in the playoffs. And I still hold that same opinion going into next year because all this team does is overcome adversity. That's all we've ever done since I stepped into Stanford. And that's all we've continued to do up until this day.
Well, if anyone knows anything about the MPSF or MPSF and now Big West Conference, it all comes down to making that run during the conference tournament or through qualifying for the NCAAs. So any team can get hot at the right time.
Absolutely.
There's so much talent. Talent-rich conferences, no doubt. With the outbreak of COVID, the season came to an unexpected and abrupt halt in March. Can you take me through some of the thoughts that you and the team were having about this particular time in history?
You know, that's a great question. I think for me personally, I'll speak for myself and then I'll speak for the team. There's all kinds of thoughts going through my head. You know, one day I wake up and I'm like, hey, maybe if we all just put on our masks and we all follow the guidelines, we're going to be fine. And we will have a season this year. And then I can wake up the next morning and you know, look at America through maybe a little bit more realistic lens and say, oh man, I'll be surprised if anybody gets to play sports this year. Mm-hmm. And I think that's largely the same throughout our team. You know, it's definitely been tough not having a chance to see each other, especially when, I mean, I've probably spent 60 to 70% of my life, not including sleep, so all my waking hours with those guys over the past 3 years. And then just like that, I haven't seen almost any of them in 5 months. So it's been tough for the team. And I think it's been tough for everybody, you know, in the same way. But we're staying resilient and we're staying ready. We're not stopping our training by any means. Even amidst all this, we are going to be ready for a season next year no matter what.
Now, have you spoken with other teammates in this time that you've been apart? Because I know that particularly the culture that Coach Costi and Coach Shibuya have created up there is one that's a very tightly knit family. And I know that your interactions go much beyond the playing court.
Yeah, like you said, the coaches do a great job of establishing us, you know, as a tight-knit group. And I think that those values have really sunk in this year. Not to say that, you know, any of my former Stanford teammates aren't my family. They are. Those guys are all my brothers. I would take a bullet for each and every one of them. But this year and obviously going into next year, we really felt like a family. And so, yeah, I've talked to – shoot, I couldn't tell you a person that I haven't talked to, including our incoming freshmen, more than once. And, you know, we have a group chat that obviously is just – always running with messages through it. And I try to keep in contact with everybody individually, myself as well. And I know other guys on the team do that. So we talk all the time.
It's good to hear that you're keeping the relationships going and keeping the bond strong with your teammates.
Definitely.
Hey, let's jump forward now 4 months later to July 9th, 2020. Some devastating news was delivered, and it's the reason why I wanted to pursue this interview with you, because we wanted to get an inside look of what's happening and educate and inform not only Stanford alumni, but all volleyball fans, be it beach, indoor, juniors, high school, all levels, because this impacts the future of volleyball. But can you share with us what happened on July 9th?
Yeah, so I want to say it was actually July 8th.
Okay.
But whatever, it was last Wednesday morning.
Yep.
I woke up to an email from the athletic director of Stanford calling me and, as I later found out, members of 10 other teams into a meeting on what we thought would be updates to athletics during COVID-19. As well as information about fall sports, that kind of thing. To the contrary, we were blindsided by a meeting that informed us that each and every one of our 11 programs, including all 240 athletes in those programs currently, had been cut. They would be given one more year to play at Stanford, and then they would be cut from the athletic department. And then as soon as that meeting ended, literally seconds later at 10 a.m., the press release was sent out and everyone else knew. And since then, you know, things have gotten pretty hectic.
Now, Kyler, what was your initial reaction to the news?
Shock, definitely shock, because I just thought this kind of thing doesn't happen at Stanford. This kind of thing doesn't happen at a school like this. So, you know, I had really just woken up. I thought maybe this is just all a bad dream. You know, I was just kind of hoping. And then, you know, like I kind of touched on earlier, I realized later in the day that I was really going through grief. Mm-hmm. You know, I was mourning the loss of my program, and I was mourning the loss of opportunities for, you know, not only 240 current athletes, but thousands of potential athletes, you know, as the years go on that, you know, won't have this opportunity to find their community at Stanford anymore.
Now, were you with any teammates or anyone, your roommates, when you received the news?
I wasn't. I was here at my mom's house. I was all alone. I think largely probably the rest of the 240 athletes were probably in a similar situation. I can't speak to all of them, obviously, but no, I wasn't with anybody.
Now, did you contact anyone pretty quickly afterwards to just verify that it really happened? I mean, you mentioned that you're kind of in disbelief. Who was your first call?
Well, the first text I actually received was from one of my good friends and, classmate JP Riley. He kind of confirmed it by saying, "Oh my gosh, were you at that meeting? Did you see what they just said?" You know, as soon as I saw that, I was like, "Oh no." And so I definitely reached out to a couple people, but within a few minutes, it seemed pretty clear that this was legit. This was happening. And from that point on, it was just, reaching out to teammates, seeing how they were doing, making sure they were okay.
Now, how did Coach Costi and the coaching staff react? Were you able to speak with any of them?
So Coach Costi, from my understanding, and I'm still not clear on everything that happened that day, but from my understanding, as soon as Costi was informed of these cuts, he went to work for us. And he spent the rest of that day in meetings and on the phone and talking to people who needed to be spoken with and fighting for our sport and, specifically our team. But like you said, our sport, because this decision does have ramifications for the rest of volleyball in general and especially men's volleyball and boys' volleyball.
Mm-hmm. Now, have any administrators or any other coaching staff shared any thoughts with any of your athletes or your teammates?
Yeah. So just to finish my answer to that last question, basically Costi, after he was done doing what he could for us that day, he got us on a call. We had an emergency meeting. He said, "We're going to fight this. We're not just going to sit down. We're not just going to lie down and accept this decision. We're going to show Stanford that they've made a mistake. We're going to show them why Stanford men's volleyball matters." And then basically immediately in that meeting, he brought in an administrator from Stanford who, like I touched on before, was basically more of a go-between the real decision makers and us. Mm-hmm. So it was one administrator of the many who contributed to this decision. And she didn't have very much to say, I would say. She gave us, like you said, or like you touched on earlier, a lot of canned responses that were clearly pre-prepared. She gave us a lot of information on the university's official position. And she didn't really speak to us like human beings. She spoke to us like potential liability.
Now, I happen to catch a post by your mom on both Facebook and on Instagram. I'm going to read that here. Sure. And then ask you a follow-up question afterwards. So your mom had written, "Dear Bernard Muir, who is the athletic director at Stanford, you shook my hand, looked me in the eye, and welcomed me to the Stanford family as my son committed to Stanford University and the athletic department that is under your care. I was so impressed with the delivery of your speech about excellence in all that we do. More importantly, you genuinely welcomed myself and my son to the Stanford family and called the farm our second home. As one of the patriarchs of the Stanford family, I am highly unimpressed the way you abandoned 11 varsity sports and 240 student athletes that you call family yesterday. Not to mention the 22 dedicated coaches and 20 support staff that also comprise your family. The 11 cut sports have won a combined 20 national championships. And student athletes from these sports have won 27 Olympic medals. I hold you to a higher standard. Let's see if you can demonstrate